So everybody, welcome to worship this morning. We just pray, God, that you would be with us now as we spend time worshiping you through song and through the word of God. We pray that you would anoint our voices that would be pleasing to you, Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit would be present here in this place. In Jesus' name.
Some glad morning when this life is over.
Rising up.
everyone see. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
We talk about putting our trust in you. I pray that you would help us to do that. Lord, not rely on ourselves, not rely on this world, not rely on our friends or our spouses or our neighbors, but you and you alone, Lord. Let our hope, let our trust, let our everything be in you, Father. Lord, this morning I lift George Palmer up to you and just pray that you continue to minister to him, Lord. Encourage him, bring peace to his heart, bring healing and wholeness to his body, Lord. Continue to touch him. Lord, this morning I also think of Heidi, Lord, and just pray, Father, that you would speak to her. Lord, we got news this past week of a fall that she took and pain that she's dealing with. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would touch her physical body, that you would bring her wholeness, Lord. Take the pain away, take all those issues away, Lord. Just minister to her this morning, I pray. Lord, I think of Bill and Patty Ruse, who are traveling to Europe for the next 10 or 15 days. Lord, would you give them rest? Would you give them excitement and encouragement? Would you keep them safe while they're away? Bring them back safely, Lord, as well. Encourage and bless them, Lord. Same thing for the Hills while they're away. Encourage and bless that family, Lord. Minister to them and protect them. Bring them home safely, Father. Lord, I pray that you would minister to hearts and minds today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move. Lord, forget about our agenda, our thoughts, our plan. Lord, let your Spirit move in this place. Be in control of everything today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5. This section of Scripture starts off with what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a pretty detailed teaching done by Jesus himself. And he teaches about a lot of different issues in the course of human life. Things we should do, things we shouldn't do, ways we should live, ways we shouldn't live, all as his followers, as his believers. You might say that he preached this sermon just for us, just so we can learn how to live. The chapter starts out with the crowd gathering around and then Jesus sitting down beginning to teach them. That seems like such a simple little thing. Jesus sat down to teach them. Do we know that that is actually a custom of a rabbi? That's how they teach. They don't stand up like this and share. They don't lecture. They sit down, they draw their crowd in, bring the people close by, and then they begin their teaching. In this case, Jesus starts off giving a list of blessings. We call them the Beatitudes. Now, you, I'm sure, are familiar with some of these, right? Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the poor in spirit, all of those things. In fact, when we read them, often we don't even think of them as blessings. That's not how we necessarily interpret them, because we think of blessings as things that make us happy, things that are good, things that are exciting, things that we can just get all excited and joyful about. And some of these things aren't exactly that way. I read one earlier, blessed are the poor in spirit. Does that sound like it's something to make you happy? The happiness that is being referred to here really is more about joy, because these Beatitudes are blessings that we receive as we walk in the salvation that God has given us, as we work out that salvation, so to speak. So these blessings aren't things like I got a raise at work, or I got a promotion, praise the Lord, I sold my house. It's not that kind of stuff. These blessings are blessings in our lives as we walk with the Lord, as we grow with the Lord. Let's look real quick. The final blessing he gives is in verses 11 and 12 there. He said, blessed are you when people insult you. That's exactly what I was just talking about, right? Does that sound like a blessing? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus makes a couple of things pretty clear here. He says people will insult us because of him. People are going to poke fun at us. People are going to rib us. They're going to call us names. They're going to laugh at us. They're going to do all kinds of those things. But then he tells us when that happens, it's okay. It's okay. In fact, he says, rejoice in it. Get excited about it. When someone calls you a holy roller or a Bible thumper or any of those things, get excited about that. Rejoice in that. Why? Because you're going to be rewarded for that. You're going to be rewarded for standing out as the person you are called to be. Now, again, this is not a reward that you're going to find in your mailbox when you get home. You're not going to find it sitting in your living room when you wake up one morning. This is a reward we are going to get in eternity. We are going to be rewarded because we dealt with the insults and the persecutions and all of that stuff. Jesus is trying to encourage us here to keep walking through all of that. Even though it's hard, even though it's not fun, even though it's a struggle and difficult and we don't like it, continue to move on. And as his followers, as his children, we are to stand up for what is right, even in the midst of those insults and persecutions. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be consumed with those things. We can be happy and we can rejoice and we can keep moving forward. There are some, while not exactly worded here, there is some application here. Jesus is essentially telling us when all of that happens, when you feel that weight of people poking fun at you, continue to tell people the truth. Don't back away. Don't tell them what they want to hear, or as Scripture later says, what their itching ears might desire to hear. Continue to proclaim the truth of God's Word, and you will be blessed because of it. So we talked a little bit about that persecution, about that insult, about that blessing that we'll receive. Right after that, and this is the verse that we really want to zero in on this morning. Right after he says that, Jesus says something else. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man." Those first couple of words are what we're going to focus in on. You are the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. What in the world does that mean? Before we dive into it too much, let's deal with the second part. What good is salt if it loses its saltiness? You ever stop to think about that? If these little white crystals that we throw all over the place had no taste to them, of what value would they be? What would we do with them? Nothing. They're just junk at that point. Do we truly understand the importance of that statement? If we lose our saltiness, if salt loses its saltiness, what value does it have? We are told to be that salt regardless of the persecution, regardless of the fun-making and all the name-calling and all that stuff that's happening based on what we just read in those prior verses. Keep your saltiness. Back in the day when this would have been written, you know that Romans had a saying? They said, there is nothing more useful than sun and salt. That was a very popular saying by the Romans back in the day. There's nothing more useful than sun and salt. Because, see, salt is actually a very important part of our lives. It's an important part of our physical lives. We have salt in our system. Sodium is a part of who we are. But Jesus also tells us that salt is an incredible part of our Christian lives, of our Christian walk. Let's understand the fact that there are several different uses for salt. It's not just something we throw on our food. There's a lot that can be done with salt. For example, salt can be used for purification or cleaning. Let me give you a couple examples. Salt can be used to clean out your nasty, stubborn, clogged garbage disposal. Did you know that? Try it sometime. Look at it on YouTube. There's ways of cleaning out your garbage disposal with salt. It can be used to aid in eliminating fish odor. You ever cooked fish in your house and days later you can still smell fish in your house? Salt can be used to help eliminate some of that odor. It can be used to clean up greasy pans. In fact, it's recommended for cleaning your cast iron skillets. If you have a good old-fashioned cast iron skillet and want to get it cleaned up a little bit, using salt is the way to do that. It's got this wide range of uses. Some will even say you can use salt to deodorize your shoes. That might be an important piece of info for some of us. Salt also kills bacteria. You ever had salt on an open wound? Doesn't feel so good, does it? But it's actually working for your benefit. It's killing any kind of bacteria that's in that cut. And salt will actually aid in stopping the bleeding of that open cut. It's incredible, the uses for salt, when you stop to think about it. Salt can be used to treat eczema, those that have some skin issues. Salt can be used to help that. In fact, they say a good swim in some salt water cleans out your pores and does wonders for your health and your skin. How many of us wear contacts here? Every night, I pull my contacts out. I put them in something called saline solution. That solution has got salt in it, and I'm putting it in my eyes the next morning. Now, obviously, it's a very diluted solution, but it's part of cleansing those contacts so that I can put them back in and see kind of clearly. Kind of clearly. You know, my vision's pretty bad without my contacts, so it helps as much as it can. As early as 100 A.D., so that was a little bit of time ago, right? As early as 100 A.D., there are records that indicate salt would be rubbed on newborn babies at the time of birth to help clean the baby. Did you ever realize that? Interesting, isn't it? We could keep going on and on about the purification or the cleansing process of salt, but I think we get the picture. So how does that relate to us as salt of the world? Well, hopefully, as we've talked about some of this, you've already started thinking about it a little bit. Maybe your mind has already started putting a little bit of this together. You and I, as the salt of the earth, are used by God to bring purity and cleanliness to the world around us. Do you ever stop to think about that? We are used by God, instruments of, you know, vessels, instruments, all of that that Scripture talks about. We're used by God in this case to bring cleanliness. Our saltiness, if you will, helps to heal the open wounds that people have in their lives. It can be used to stop the emotional bleeding of people around us. that saltiness within us can help in these ways. By being as gentle as that saline solution we put in our eyes, we can help other people in their times of struggle and worry and confusion. We can be the cleansing agent in that skillet of life, removing the grease and the grime that has built up over the years of use or neglect. As salt, we can be a part of that if we will be the salt that God has called us to be. That cleansing process can begin with you and I. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Do we know that? Jesus and what he did on the cross is the only thing that wholly and completely covers us and cleanses us and makes us whole. But he uses us to start that cleansing process in people's lives. He uses us by befriending them, by talking to them, by building a relationship with them, and by sharing our love of Christ with them. He uses us, and then he finishes that process. Salt is also a preservative. From the ancient of times, salt has been used to preserve food. Again, when this was written, they didn't have freezers. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have the ability to run down to Best Buy, get a new freezer, and throw all their buffalo in it, or whatever they were trying to save. They didn't have that choice. You know, Jody and I, for a handful of years now, we buy a side of beef or a quarter of beef at a time. We go to the butcher, we pick it up, we bring it home, we throw it in our freezer, and we have beef for a year. They couldn't do that. That wasn't an option for them. That wasn't even, you know, a part of their thought process. They had to use salt to protect their meat and to preserve what they were doing with their food. It was a part of the process that they had in preserving those valuable products. It preserved, it also got rid of bacteria, it stopped the meat from rotting. I mean, there was all kinds of things that salt would be used for. So in essence, it kept them healthier. We don't always think about that when we think about salt, do we? Usually we think about eliminating salt or not having so much salt, but salt actually can be healthy in the correct amount. Even today, salt is used in processing of food, canning of food, whether it's done at home or it's done commercially. Salt is used to preserve that food. In fact, a lot of food today or then would go to waste and have to be disposed of if it weren't for salt being used to preserve it. How do we, as salt, help in the preservation process? I know we don't often think about things this way, but we, born again, spirit-filled Christians, we are a part of preserving the earth as we know it. We are part of preserving the life of this earth. See, one of the reasons that God has not yet wiped mankind out is because the salt is still on the earth. His salt is still here. It keeps the rot away. Now, no, we cannot save individuals. No, we cannot change the ultimate course that God has plotted out. Yes, there is a time and a day that is coming when he will return and he will call his own home. Yes, all of that is absolute fact. But until that time, we as believers are the salt that preserves the earth and gives man a chance to change, gives man the opportunity to hear the word of God and become salt themselves. Once the salt is gone, once there is no salt left, there will no longer be anything to preserve mankind. And the world as we know it, that'll be when Christ returns and calls us all home and the great tribulation and all those things. Until then, we're the salt. Once he takes the salt away, the world will no longer exist. As long as God allows the salt, the church, to remain on this earth, there will be opportunity for man to be saved. There will be opportunity for man to be preserved and purified. What else does salt do for us? Salt adds flavor. Salt adds flavor. Like it or not, if you know anything about cooking, salt makes your protein more flavorable. It tastes better. At our house, we love to watch all kinds of cooking shows that are out there, the competitions and people just demonstrating cooking. You know, we watch the Bobby Flays and the Alex Guarnaschellis and the Gordon Ramsays of the world. Back in the day, I used to watch shows like Yan Can Cook or Justin Wilson's Cooking, or, you know, we love to watch those cooking shows. And any of those shows, any of those top chefs will tell you that your food needs seasoning. That's like the absolute basic must of whatever you're making. It needs seasoning. Now, while spices are used to create additional flavor, when they talk about seasoning, what they're talking about is salt. Your food needs salt because it's adding that salt that brings out the best flavor. Whatever it is, the chicken, the meat, the fish, whatever it is, the salt brings out that flavor. So it's important to add that seasoning. Folks, as the salt of the earth, we are the seasoning that this world needs. We are here to bring the best out. That's part of our job. People are confused by this world and all that this world has to offer them. If you've ever had a piece of meat or protein that's unsalted and then one that's salted properly, you will night and day be able to tell the difference in the preparation of those products. It's the same thing in the world. People have tasted this world and they think they know what's good, but they don't. They've never tasted what it really means to be good because they've never tasted proper seasoned life. The world can only offer synthetic or artificial flavors, but if we are the salt that this world longs for, we can give man a taste of the absolute very best that has been prepared for them. Do you think of yourself that way? You are the salt that people need so that they can experience the very best. Our saltiness should add flavor to other people's lives. Our saltiness should add zest to their environment. It's just that simple. If we're who we're supposed to be, we will make life better for others around us. If we are the salt that God directs us to be, then we will bring out that true flavor of life. Not only does salt add flavor, salt creates thirst. If you don't believe me, go home and eat an entire bag of potato chips without drinking anything. Your doctor won't recommend that, but you'll get the idea. All that salt creates thirst. When our bodies consume a high level of salt, we crave water. We crave something to quench that thirst. We appreciate that water. We appreciate being able to drink it. not only does it satisfy our mouth, it helps process that salt that is in our system. Folks, we are to be the salt to people around us to make them thirsty. What are we making them thirsty for? The living water of the Word. If we are the salt that is constantly at them, they are going to become thirsty. They are going to seek that quenching water. And the only way they're going to get it is through the living water of Christ. That is what will quench their spiritual thirst. We don't often think of salt as being very valuable either, do we? It's cheap. It doesn't cost much to buy salt, does it? So we don't think about it as being valuable. But salt was once considered as payment for goods or services rendered. How would you like to forego your next paycheck for a canister of salt? That's how people got paid. In fact, there are various reports that say Roman soldiers would once take payment in the form of salt, or that they would trade salt for, are you ready for this? They would trade salt for gold. Have we ever considered trading salt for gold? Has that ever even entered our mind? I can't imagine we have ever thought in that process. Towns were built around places that were abundant in salt. Roads were built to move that salt around. In the first century BC, China was trying to monopolize the sale of salt. If you want to read about it, go online. There is a whole debate recorded in history called the Discourse on Salt. That's how precious of a commodity salt was. In the first century AD, during the Tang Dynasty, half of the revenue of the Chinese state was derived from salt. Half of the revenue came from salt. Salt is valuable. We don't think about it that day. But in Jesus' day, when he was gathered on that mountain speaking the truth to all these people and he told them they were salt, part of what he was telling them is just how valuable they were. See, salt is far more than just some white little crystal in some disposable container that we throw on our table at mealtime. Jesus was telling his disciples, Jesus was telling his students how valuable they were. They were the salt of the earth. They brought purity. They brought preservation. They brought flavor. And they were of great value. Jesus sees us as gold, as valuable as salt. That's how he sees us. Precious in his eyes. We blow past scripture like this and don't think twice about it. Oh yeah, you're the salt of the earth. Great, I irritate people in their wounds. That's how we think. That when we read that scripture, that's what we think about and we move on, we go to something else. We, folks, are incredibly valuable in the whole process of preserving life. Today we take salt for granted. We think nothing of it, just tossing it out, throwing it around, superstition, hey, throw it over the shoulder, bad luck, good luck, whatever it is. We think of all those things, we just toss it around like it's nothing. The early church, when Jesus sat on that hill, when he sat down to teach, was conveying to them how valuable they were, and they understood that. This whole thing is another indication to us of how important it is to study Scripture, not just read through it. There's so much we miss if we just blow past it. So let's go back to something we said at the beginning, because there's one more very important thing here to dive into, and that's the fact that Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If salt loses that saltiness, it's lost its entire intended purpose. Its entire purpose is lost. Not just the taste that we think about, but everything it stands for, everything it represents is lost if salt loses its saltiness. It can no longer purify. It can no longer preserve. It doesn't heal. It doesn't add flavor. It doesn't bring about thirst. It no longer has any value. It's as good as trash, which gets tossed out and trampled by man, crushed down into the dirt of the street. Is that what you want to have happen? Do you want to lose your saltiness? Do you want to lose the value of life that God has created for you specifically? If we lose our saltiness, we can no longer have any effect on this world around us. We can't lead people to the living water. We can't be the source of healing for their wounds. We can't be the instrument of cleansing when the grime and grit of this life is covering them. If we lose our saltiness, we lose our value. We are unable to be who Christ has called us to be. Matthew 5, 11 and 12 tells us that we're going to be mocked, we're going to be scorned, we're going to be made fun of, everybody's going to poke their finger at us, and I think it's pretty easy to see that society is moving in that direction today. You can be anything you want to be in this country except a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, oh man, doors are open. You can be called anything you want to be called. You can be made fun of in any way imaginable if you're going to be a Christian, and that's all okay. You know what Jesus said when that time arises? Rejoice. Be happy about it, because you're going to get a reward for it later. And then he tells us to push on and be the salt. Be the salt that this world needs you to be. Be that flavor, be that thirst drive, be everything that God has called you to be. I don't want you to misunderstand something I said just a moment ago. God still loves you. God will still forgive you. God will still call you home someday and accept you into heaven. You are still valuable in His eyes. As a human being, He still loves you. He will always love you. You can do nothing to stop His love for you. But He wants you to be the salt of the earth. And if you lose your saltiness, then you're not doing what He wants you to do. He can't use you the way He planned on using you. You have to hold on to that saltiness in your life, so that you can have an effect on people around you. Don't risk growing cold or losing your saltiness or any of those other warnings that God gives us in Scripture. Be who you are called to be, so that you can have an effect on the world around you. Continue to be that valuable commodity that He so desperately wants to use and this world so desperately needs. Be the salt of the earth. Add seasoning to all of those lives that are around you. Amen. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be the salt that You have called us. Lord, we don't think about how important salt is. Lord, we have a purpose. We have a job to do, and you have called us to do that. Lord, you want to use each of us in so many ways to affect the lives of people around us. Lord, I pray that you would help us get a hold of that truth. Lord, help us to become who you want us to be, the salt that this world needs, that our neighbors need, that our coworkers need, that our families need. God, help us to be those cleansing agents, those thirst drivers, those important flavor adders to this world that you desire us to be. Use us, God, as you have planned to use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lacking in the salt that is necessary for us to reflect you, then Jesus, fill us, Lord God. Help us to be salt and light, Lord God, to a world that is desperate, Lord God, desperate to know you. And we commit this day, this week, and the days that lie ahead to you in Jesus' name.